All right, guys, so we're going to finish up lesson 17, where we're talking about apostasy and perseverance from Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 through 39. Now, with this lesson, with this section of Scripture, the writer is wrapping up the whole discussion of apostasy. Now, can anybody tell me what apostasy is? It's not just some big theological word. What does it mean? Yeah, walking away from Christ, rejecting him. You were a believer and then you're walking away. And no, I'm not talking about a movie, okay, because I think there's a movie called The Apostasy. But I'm not talking about a movie. I'm talking about people who say they are followers of Christ who walk away. Now, before we begin the discussion, I was really thinking about this since, actually, been thinking about it a lot through the last few weeks as we've been having this discussion about apostasy. I want us to make sure that we don't blow through this and say, oh, this is not even an issue, okay? Let me express my thoughts here. While I believe theologically that if you truly know Christ, this is not a possibility, okay? Does everybody understand what I'm saying? If you know Christ, this is not a possibility of walking away from him. All right? Now, our tendency then is to say, well, this is not possible for true believers, so I'll just ignore what's being said here. I want us to guard against that. Okay? I want us to consider what he's saying. He's trying to make an argument, and he has been from the beginning, and he's made it several different ways. He's talked about the failure of the old system, because remember, they're talking about going back to the old system of the Mosaic law. He's talked about the failure of the Mosaic priesthood. He's talked about a better covenant, a better system under Jesus, a better high priest. And then he gets to where he just drops the hammer and says, look, if you do this, there's no going back. There's no going back. So I get what I want you to understand is, what would the point be for us as true believers? I guess it's to get us to understand how this is the ultimate that we have embraced. And that if you reject that, there's nothing more. It's not saying that you can. It's just saying that if you reject Christ, there's nothing more. Do you understand what I'm saying? There's nothing more. He's using it as an argument to tell them, don't go there. Don't consider it. Don't do it. But for you and I who's reading it, it's like a reminder. Look, folks, this is it. We have embraced Jesus Christ. And that's it. If you walk away from him, if it's possible, there's nothing more. There is no other way to go about it. Do you understand? Because like a universalist will say, oh, well, you know, everybody's going to make it in the end. Really? Really? That is not the testimony of Scripture. Do you understand what I'm saying? Or there'll be another chance later on. No. Is he saying there's another chance here? No. No, there is no chance. You walk away from Jesus, that's it. Do you understand what I'm saying? We shouldn't just say, oh, that's not possible, not consider it. We kind of have to consider it because it kind of helps you realize that what you've embraced is it. There is nothing more. There is no other option. There's no plan C. Do you understand what I'm saying? This is it. And it should, when we see people faltering and talking about moving away, it should stir us, like the writer of Hebrews, to try to convince them otherwise. Do you know what I'm saying? Try to convince them otherwise that, you know, you walk away, there's nothing more, you know? Anybody got a thought or a question or a reaction to what I'm saying? Yeah, Mike. Okay, how do we really know what?
Are you really turned against it, or something hurt you so bad?
Okay, that's good.
Like the whole family's been wiped out for some reason.
Yes.
And people will turn and say, why did God let this happen?
Okay, yeah.
Are you walking away, or are you just in a state of mind that time heals people's reactions later on? But, I mean, isn't that just up to God?
Yeah.
Okay,
what Mike is saying is really good for us to think through, okay? What he just proposed is really good because all of us face it in some way. What do you mean? Okay, what I'm hearing you say, so correct me if I'm wrong, Mike. What about a guy who, maybe there's a tragedy, he loses his family. What do you mean? He was in a car accident. And his family is wiped out and he's alone. And he's like, God, why? And if this is what you're going to do, I'm done. What about that kind of guy versus a guy who just says, I'm done, and then goes off and lives on another, back to an old lifestyle or something? Because it's possible the guy who lost everything, that's his initial heart reaction. Which, by the way, do we have initial heart reactions where we get angry with God?
Yes.
Yes, right? Is it possible that after the heart reaction, you could come back in your mind and say, okay, Lord, I don't understand. Do you understand? And you're right, we don't know, Mike. And I don't think the author wants us to figure it out. I think the author is trying to get us to realize that if you walk away, there's nothing more. What were you going to say, Lori? Yes. Yeah, yeah. And so let me ask you a question. So let's use Mike's example. Let's say we have a guy here, and his name is Edgar. Here's Edgar right here. He just went through an automobile accident, lost his young wife and his kids. He's doing the struggling that Mike is saying. How do we approach him? What's the proper way? Do I break out Hebrews and go through every chapter with Hebrews with him and tell him, don't turn away because this is what Hebrews says? Do I talk to him like that? Does that work? What should I be doing with Edgar? Have compassion, mourn with him, grieve with him, put an arm around him. Yeah, love him, right? Pray for him. That's right, Bruce. Pray that somehow through the midst of the pain and the hurt, God, you break through. Do you know what I'm saying? Yeah, yeah, so, and these are things that we face every day in our own lives, right? You know, these are things that we face every day in our own lives. The reality is, these are the real things that we face, and so sometimes the reactions are, I'm done. I'm done, like the example that Mike says. But it doesn't necessarily mean they're walking away. Because we don't know. And does God understand?
Yes.
Yes.
But God also understands, in my opinion, the difference. And I guess, how the difference?
Yes. Yes, we don't know the difference, but he does. So that was a good example, Mike. Did you understand what I'm saying? So do you have a follow-up comment or? Yes. Yes, yes. Yeah. Yes, and let's be honest, in that system, tragically hurt with that kind of circumstances, we could also include with that, I think all of us have known people who've walked away from church because they were tragically hurt in church. Do you understand what I'm saying? They were tragically hurt by somebody in church or leadership or somebody's failure or whatever, and it just devastated them. Did you understand what I'm saying? And they're like, forget that, I'm walking away from here. But then people pray for them, and a few years later, maybe they realize, they mature or something, you know? What were you going to say?
Is this talking about rejection or trying to find a different way? Because, you know, like they're going back to the old cup or the old rituals, not so much just, I guess it doesn't matter, still walking away from the only way, right?
Yes. I was going to say to you, I think it's both. I think it's rejection plus going back to what they would say is an easier way. Yes. And what do you mean easier way, George? Well, it'd be a whole lot easier to go back to the system of sacrifices, but you don't have to worry about being shunned by your family. You don't have to worry about persecution by your people group, ethnic group, or something that you're a part of. Yeah, and I think it's more, deception is a part of it, but don't go there.
This whole world, like this example with the car accident.
Yeah.
That pain.
Yes.
In the fallen world, if bad things happen, can deceive you into believing that God, you can walk away from God because you did this.
Yeah.
I think there's a deception in all of that.
Yeah. All right, so let's kind of go back. I think we were in chapter 10 up to, let me look here. Let's re-look at verses 30 and 31 where he talks about God's judgment. Okay, so let me move us forward there. Okay, so look at verse 30 and 31. For we know him who said, vengeance is mine, I will repay. And again, the Lord will judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. All right, so let's start right there. So first thing I want you to know is understand who God is. What do you mean we got to understand? The writer states that we understand that God will judge the wicked. Period. Now what does that got to do with walking away? Well, for you and I, standing on the outside watching somebody do this, you got to understand that God is going to hold people account. What do you mean? Well, for you and I, we're not going to be held account for our sins. Why? Jesus paid for it, and we what? Trusted in it, and we are continuing to trust in it. Continuing to trust in what? His salvation through the cross. Folks, every one of us here, if you're saved, it's not because you did something in the past. First of all, salvation is never talked about as that pastime event. Salvation is always talked about in the present, meaning you are trusting in him. And you can look back and say, well, I remember like I did 40 years ago in April, I made a commitment to follow him, but I can sit and say I'm a believer in Jesus Christ because 40 years later, I still believe. I still trust him, not myself. But, okay, so I understand that. So then I understand when you have somebody who, quote, appears to say, I'm walking away, you're not exempt from judgment. You're walking away from the only means of taking care of your sin. And God will hold everyone accountable, right? It's kind of like the joke that you hear about the guy. I mean, we've had flooding, a lot of flooding all over the world. About the guy who's he's in an area where it's being flooded, and he's up on the rooftop, and somebody comes by in a little boat and says, "Hey, buddy, you need to get out of there." And he's like, "Oh, I'm going to wait for God to take care of it." You know, and then a little bit later, another guy comes back in a powerboat. "Hey, you got to get out of here, man. It's too much." And he's like, "No, I'm going to wait for God to take care of it. He'll rescue me." And then a little bit later, a helicopter comes and drops a line down. "Hey, you need to get out of here." And he doesn't Even I'll wait till, and then the flood comes and washes away the top of the roof, and he's gone. He's dead. He's appearing before the Lord, and the Lord says, I sent three different folks to take care of you. Yeah, what were you doing? Do you know what I'm saying? You were waiting. I sent them. Do you see what I'm saying? And when here's the thing. Ignoring the method doesn't exempt you from the judgment that's to come, right? Yes, you're trotting underfoot. Yeah, you're belittling the sacrifice. Yeah, you're belittling the sacrifice. So here we are. We need to understand that God will judge the wicked. And here is what he warns. He says, it's a fearful thing to stand before God, to fall into the hands of an angry God, the text says, right? It's a fearful thing. Look, folks, you are saved. Can I tell you, when you appear before God, you're going to be on your faces. Even though you're saved. How do you know that, George? Look at Revelation chapter 1, the reaction of John, the beloved disciple, when he sees the risen Jesus. What does he do? Falls on the ground, is dead. We're going to be so overwhelmed by who Jesus really is in all of his glory. It's a fearful thing, but we don't need to fear, do we? In fact, John says, fear not, is what John writes in the gospel Jesus said. Fear not, right? We don't have to fear. But if you have walked away, or if you have denied, if you